He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's Fed Decision Day, and that should be a market mover later today. When not only announcement, I mean, the announcement, we're expecting no change in Fed fund rates, but it's what they say after the announcement that will impact the market. Right now, we've got a pretty quiet market. The Dow is down 30 points, waiting for some direction from the Fed, I suppose. It's at 34,268. Little bit, just a little bit of strength in the tech slash growth stocks today. The NASDAQ, well, the S&P's up less than a point right now, 42.47. And the NASDAQ's up 43, 14,116. Seeing just a little strength in Apple, Amazon, Adobe. And, yeah, you know what? It's pretty quiet out there right now. We've got bond market. Well, before we get to the bond market, let's take a look at the small caps. They're down 15 points. That's 0.7%. Crude oil having a fairly good day. It's up 16 cents. Crude oil is at 72.28, with a few analysts out there calling for $100 oil by the end of the year. Gold up 260 to 18.59. Silver's up 18 cents to 27.88. The bond market, very quiet today, awaiting the Fed also. It's at 1.49%, sitting right there at about 1.5, which is quite, 25 basis points below where it has been recently. And Bitcoin, which kind of leads the market these days, it's down 839 points to 39,281. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We have a quiet open to the market so far with all eyes on the Fed later this morning. The Fed will make their announcement on what they're going to do with interest rates. They may signal when they might hike rates. Nobody expects it to happen today. The consensus seems to be early next year. They'll also probably say something about their huge balance sheet that they've been maintaining and still doing bond purchases. We may hear some taper talk, and we may get a temper tantrum. We'll see. But I think more importantly, we may hear the Fed's current take on inflation. One well-known hedge fund manager, Kyle Bass, is saying the real inflation right now is 12%. Is he right? Is the Fed right? We've also had the CEOs of J.P. Morgan and Citigroup weighing in here recently, saying that they think inflation is not transitory, but something that is here to stay. Well, yesterday we had a good day for the value trade, the cyclicals. That's the first day in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so. That area of the market's been going through a correction. I would call it a correction. I think there's a lot more legs to the value cyclical trade myself. Today it's back down a little bit, and the growth trade is having just a wee bit of a bounce here this morning, but nothing to really get excited about. Oil stocks, I would say the energy sector, the oil patch, oil sector, oil stocks, oil ETFs, probably been the best performing sector in the market here recently. Copper and copper stocks got slammed yesterday as China is opening up its reserves of industrial metals to try to get price, to get screaming prices, screaming higher out of that, which are out of control, trying to get them under control. The bond market very quiet today, awaiting news from the Fed. We're right about 1.48%. We've been as high as 1.9%. Citigroup calling for 2% by the end of the year. Leadership hard to come by right now. One day you'll see a little leadership in the technology stocks, and that will dissipate. Today you're seeing a little bit. Apple, Adobe, Amazon having a fairly good day here today. But there's a real lack of leadership in the market right now. The 10-year Treasury we mentioned, 8 out of 11 sectors down yesterday. Biggest decliner yesterday were the copper stocks. Copper futures fell 4% to a 7-week low. I think that trade's got further to go, however. June employment looking a little bit stronger. If they can find the help, that's the biggest problem, finding people to fill the jobs. It seems like everybody, I mean, it doesn't matter what industry it is, it seems like almost everybody is understaffed these days. Initial jobless claims will come in tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. May housing starts come in below consensus. Everybody I'm talking to in the housing industry, in the real estate industry, they're all saying that things have cooled off. Well, you know, that's because interest rates were rising. Now you've got interest rates going back down, but I think the bigger factor there is the rise in price of housing. And with people now going back to work, they're not looking for homes in the suburbs like they were before. So you do have the new May housing starts came in at 1.57 million, a little bit below expectations. And that housing sector has definitely cooled off. Toll Brothers, D.R. Horton, and the building suppliers, the wood, the lumber suppliers, et cetera, that sector of the market has really cooled off for now. The U.S. and European Union will work together towards the goal of vaccinating two-thirds of the world's population against COVID-19. That's a lot of people. What is that? That's about 4.5 billion people by the end of 2022. Let's hope there's no side effects down the road that we weren't counting on. This comes according to a White House statement about the two-thirds of the world's population. Earlier this month, President Joe Biden said the U.S. would donate 75% of unused doses to COVAX, an initiative to distribute more vaccines to poorer countries. And, of course, the vaccine makers, you know, they're not really moving that much anymore. Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and now the new player, Novavax. Yeah, it hasn't been a real profitable trade. I would say the biggest beneficiaries have been Moderna and BioNTech as far as movement in the stocks. Wells Fargo out with its 2022 predictions. U.S. economic growth will remain above 5% next year. Okay, that could be inflationary, while the Federal Reserve will let retail inflation run hot, according to Wells Fargo mid-year forecast out today. Well, here's the third big bank weighing in on inflation. They believe inflation will decelerate in 2022, but the degree depends on how quickly supply shortages dissipate and how well household and business spending persist in 2022, especially if the pace of spending remains robust. Upward pressure on prices could linger. So I would say they're not really in the transitory camp. Inflation in the U.S. and around the world may sustain a hotter rate than its pre-pandemic pace as global economy activity recovers. Well, they also say, but a repeat of the 1970s seems very unlikely. Okay, that's when we had whip inflation now. Now, here's the important part about Wells Fargo's forecast for stocks. Wells Fargo Got a target price for 2022 of 4,800 to 5,000 for the S&P 500. 4,800 to 5,000. Well, you know what? I mean, if you take into account a tax hike, it would be pretty hard to get to 5,000 on the S&P 500. They see earnings next year at $220. Okay, so put a 20 multiple on that, you get 4,400. A 21 multiple gets you to about 4,600. So I don't know how you get to 5,000. You'd have to see a 23, 24 multiple, and you'd have to not have a tax hike along the way. Well, that's Wells Fargo, another big bank, weighing in. When we come back, one big investment officer out there says the deflation rate is 12%. We'll talk about that when we come back. Holy moly. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second segment here of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, hopefully we get some direction in the market here today, maybe, with the Fed announcement coming later. Right now you've got the Dow down 55 at 34,245. The growth stocks are holding sway today, with the NASDAQ up about 52 points, a little strength in Apple, Adobe, Applied Materials, Amazon, those types of stocks. Kyle Bass, founder and chief investment officer at Hayman Capital Management, took issue with the latest producer price statistics released Tuesday, saying that the actual inflation rate is probably around 12%. In an interview with CNBC, Bass explained that the hotter-than-expected PPI reading comes as a chain-weighted number, which doesn't tell the full story of price increases. He said these are numbers that are designed to artificially be low. If you look at non-chain-weighted index of inflation, we think inflation's running about 12%. Bass noted that the Federal Reserve's easy money policy has added about 34% more money to the system in the last 14 months. That's a lot. A move that effectively cuts into the consumer's buying power. That means that people that have money in the bank, I have a little commercial on that, you're losing out to the termite bugs. Here's how much he says. People that have money in the bank in their savings are losing 5 to 12% of their purchasing power annually, he said. The famed investor advised people to move out of cash in order to stay ahead of inflation. Well, my commercial says the same thing. He pointed out that stocks keep up with about 85% of inflation, so investors in the market are not going to lose too much by putting money there. However, Bass said that investors in the stock market would have to score a return of mid-teens number to keep up with inflation. Well, I think over the next 12 months that's possible, even though the market is awfully quiet right now. I think 12 months from now, there's a good chance the market will be 15% higher than where it is today, or mid-teens, somewhere in there. The government data released Tuesday showed that the PPI climbed at an annual rate of 6.6%. Bass is saying it's closer to 12%. But even at 6.6, that's the largest increase since at least November 2010, when the 12-month data was first calculated. ETF inflows. Boy, I remember when ETFs first came along. They have really taken the market by storm. Well, I mean, people that can't pick stocks or don't want to pick stocks can buy the entire semiconductor sector. They can buy the entire oil and gas sector. ETF inflows of more than $400 billion this year dwarf 2020 levels. Now, of course, let's not forget that when people buy ETFs, the ETF manager has to buy the underlying stocks that make up the ETF. I would say mutual funds are the biggest, that's done the most harm to mutual funds, money flowing out of mutual funds and into ETFs. Mutual funds are only priced at the end of the day, usually have a lot higher fees, sometimes even have loads, front-end loads on them. There are plenty of ETF issuers in the market, but the four that stick out to investors are Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, and Invesco. These four issuers are the world's largest ETF providers with a total of 828 different ETFs that investors can choose from. And you know what? I mean, it's really gone into almost every little nook and cranny of the market. I saw a travel and vacation ETF. You've got a lithium ETF. You've got the genomics ETFs. Just about any theme or sector you want to invest in. And then, of course, there's inverse ETFs. There's big index ETFs that follow the indexes. There's big sector ETFs. There's specialized ETFs. There's all kinds of fixed income ETFs. And what's done better over the past month? Well, for the 4 months in a row, value held sway. But over the last month, growth ETFs have outperformed value ETFs. Well, we saw a big correction in growth in February, March, April, and most of May. And so it's not unusual to see some money taking advantage of that sell-off in growth. And you had pretty good outperformance by value over growth during that same period of time. So it's also not unusual to see a little bit of selling off, profit-taking, consolidation in the value area of the market right now. I still prefer value over growth, even though over the last many years I've been a pure growth investor. So that represents a major shift for me away from growth. I still own several. I still own a lot of growth stocks, but I've introduced a lot of value stocks into my portfolios this year for the first time in many years. Demand optimism lifts oil prices to the highest in more than 2.5 years. Now think about just over a year ago when oil prices went negative. That was at the pit of COVID. When we were all staying home and afraid to go to the gas station and even touch a gas pump. Well, oil demand has come soaring back. There's even talk out there of $100 per barrel oil. That's coming from some top oil traders and forecasters that crude could return to $100 before the end of the year. Goldman Sachs head of commodity research, Jeff Currie, sees a 10% probability for triple-digit crude this year while waning at the end of investment in long-term crude projects and the potential ripple effect on prices further out. You know, I've been seeing good action, okay, and some pretty big dividend payers. Exxon has got a pretty good chart right now. Chevron has a good chart right now. Pretty much all of the oil producers. One that stood out to me today was a Canadian oil sands stock that maybe will feature in the last segment of the show. And I also own several oil and gas stocks, which is a change for me. I have not owned any for quite some time, but that's one of the leading sectors in the market. In fact, oil price is up about 45 to 50%. That is the biggest gainer in the market this year, oil prices and oil stocks. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the mining stocks, electrification of the auto industry. Who's in the news today? That's always newsworthy. and a new player in the Alzheimer treatment category. A lot to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Docs Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Definitely a little leaning towards the growth stocks today. Dow down 40 right now. The S&P is down a point as we await the Fed decision here in a bit. NASDAQ's up just 32 points right now. But a little bit of activity here. I'm seeing Salesforce, CrowdStrike, Amazon, Adobe, Apple, Applied Materials, a little bit of activity. A little bit of activity in the oil patch, Continental Resources. The worst chart I see so far today is Citigroup. See, the banks. They need higher interest rates. And I'm also seeing some pretty good action in the shipping stocks. Many of the shipping stocks having a decent day here today. All right, well, we've got some new players here in the Alzheimer's space. We'll get to that here in a bit. Big election going on in Peru. It's razor thin right now. Well, this has a lot to do with the commodity space. A lot of mines down in Peru. The Peruvian socialist candidate, which seems to be the direction Latin America has been going recently, Pedro Castillo holds a slim lead over conservative rival Keiko Fujimori. All ballots finally counted. Peru is the world's second largest copper-producing country. Castillo has a lot of support amongst the miners, but it is razor thin right now. Mining stocks on watch as China to release metal reserves. China says it will release national reserves of major base metals over the short term in an effort to stabilize surging commodity prices. Well, how long can they do that? They will release reserves including copper, aluminum, and zinc in batches to metal processing and manufacturing companies through public bidding. China will also, says it's expanding its oversight of commodities trading by state firms to overseas markets. Well, yesterday the copper stocks got hit pretty hard, but then, of course, they've had a pretty good run-up. You take a look at Freeport-McMoRan, which started the year at around 18 or 19. It's been a double since... Well, actually, the fall of last year, the stock has doubled. So not surprising to see a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of sell-off. It's firming up here today after a pretty stiff sell-off yesterday. The short squeeze continues. How about those meme stocks? Let's take a look at those today. Wish. When you wish upon a star, Wish is quiet today. It's down 3.3%. Woof. Let's not forget Woof. That's Petco. Where the pets go. That's the name of our little ballpark in San Diego, home of the Padres. Ah, it's down 5% today. What's happening with the Reddit trade? How about AMC? How is AMC doing today? Oh, it's down 7%. Wow, not having a good day at Reddit. Clover, CLOV, another favorite of the Reddit crowd. Ouch, down 4.4. And how about Clean Energy Fuel, CLNE, down 6%. Not a good day. Now they've got a new one, Canoe. It was raining so hard in Charleston. What was that, Saturday night? I mean, I looked out the window. We were downtown dining out. I looked outside, and it was just pouring off the roofs and everything. And, you know, I thought I was going to need a kayak to get home. Canoe stock spikes higher off Reddit interest. That is Go EV. Let's see how it's doing. It's down 6%. So across the board, the Reddit crowd getting the Reddit gang getting hit today. Ford plans to electrify the entire Lincoln fleet. Imagine one of them big Lincoln Navigators. What kind of distance are you going to be able to go on a charge in one of those big hogs? Ford Motor Company says it plans to electrify the entire Lincoln brand by 2030 with a full lineup of connected vehicles. You know, pretty much you got GM going all electric. Seems like Ford is pretty much headed in that direction. Ford says a cloud-based platform for Lincoln will integrate electrical power distribution, computing systems, and connected vehicles to enable a software-first approach. It used to be gasoline first. Now it's software first. Your car will run on software to update performance without changing hardware. As we accelerate Lincoln's transformation in North America, in China, there is no better time to propel the Lincoln brand forward than with electrification, says Lincoln president Joy Falatico. Well, we're keeping our eye on Ford. Ford stock has been a little perky here recently. It went up from 11 to 15 with the unveiling of their new F-150 electric truck. And, of course, they're now got the Mustang out there on the in the store. I'd like to see one of those. I haven't seen one yet. And you've got the big Bronco now starting to show up at the dealers. I've seen the little Bronco. And now the big Bronco starting to show up on Ford. Ford's a pretty good valuation stock if you're looking for a lot cheaper way to buy electric vehicle stock. If you compare Tesla's P.E. ratio of 205, not a very good chart on Tesla. It's holding that 600 line, and that's about it. That's about all you can say about that Tesla chart. While Tesla's trading at 205 times earnings, the most expensive stock in the entire market, I still say that. Ford is trading at a P.E. ratio of 10. Well, yeah, Tesla does have a much better growth rate than Ford. But having said that, is it worth 210 times earnings? Elon's big mouth will get it a big multiple. That's what I've seen. Tesla's latest quarter, their earnings were up 300%. Their sales were up 74%. That's why it's getting a bigger multiple than Ford, but that's an awfully big multiple. We got a new cryptocurrency. Write this one down. BitClout. Sequoia Capital. This is run by people that are big, influencers. Influencers on social media. So they've given preloaded accounts of BitClout to celebrities like Kim Kardashian, Elon Musk, Justin Bieber, and Rihanna. Now, there's a reason to buy it, okay? BitClout. You'll have to find the symbol for BitClout. I'm not going to look for it. But if you're interested, take a look. Alibaba on watch. I continue to watch these Chinese stocks. They're not going much of anywhere. Look at that Alibaba chart. BABA, that's not very pretty, is it? JD.com's not very pretty. It's been a tough year for the Chinese stocks. It seems like they're their own worst enemy. They continue to regulate. They continue to warn these companies. I mean, Baba has never been the same since Jack Ma said something derogatory about the Chinese Communist Party, which he's a member of. Well, we haven't seen much of Jack Ma lately in his stock. And Ant Group and the IPO and everything that was supposedly going to happen, not much happening there. The Chinese stocks continue to flounder. The first patient is set to receive Biogen's Alzheimer therapy. A 70-year-old male suffering from Alzheimer's is expected to become the first patient outside of a clinical trial to receive the recently approved Alzheimer's therapy Aduhelm developed by Biogen. Very controversial. You had several FDA members on the panel quit the board after that approval of that drug. Well, let's hope it works for this 70-year-old male. In the meantime, here's a new one to keep your eye on. Alzheimer disease drug developer Alzamend. It was up 571% yesterday before the trading was halted. The symbol is ALZN. It's up 118% today. Wow. It started the day at 5 and it's $11. Maybe the Reddit crowd has moved on to ALZN. Yesterday it hit $33 a share before being halted. You know, there's a lot of gamification of Wall Street these days. Alzamend, A-L-Z-N. Okay, when we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on another just directionless, no leadership kind of day. I think after the announcement by the Fed today, we may see something break one way or the other. We shall see. What will they say about inflation? What will they say about tapering? What will they say about future interest rate hikes? All of that and more coming to you from the Fed here later today. I'll be headed down to Sarasota. Man, I have not been down there in a long time, probably a year and a half or a little longer, but finally going to make it back down. We'll be there Tuesday, next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, meeting with folks, and Wednesday evening to be doing a workshop on the market. Current conditions. We'll see what it's like at that point in time. If you'd like to set up an appointment or attend the workshop, you can call Edie. She'll make the arrangements, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Or you can go on our website at GundersonCapital.com. You know what? Tomorrow is already newsletter day. That's when I start finishing up the portfolios to see where they're at year to date. It's a lot tougher year. There's no question about it than last year. Come on, man. It's way different this year than it was last year. Everything kind of came to a screeching halt in mid-February. The growth stocks took a nosedive, lost about a third of their value. And while the market was zigging, I zagged. And built up a lot of value stocks, but still hanging on to many of my growth stocks, but nothing like last year. I mean, last year it was all about go, go, momentum, momentum, momentum. But obviously not this year. You get a little run in the momentum stocks, and then it will dissipate. And then you had about a three-month run in the value stocks. It's dissipated for now, but I think it's just going through a correction myself. We shall see. I just don't think it's a time to be in high PE, high price to sales. So let's go with the featured stock with a price to sales ratio of 0.48. In other words, their annual sales are about $1 billion, and the company's market cap's about $500 million. So that means it's trading at about one half of its sales, annual sales. Now, you can find a lot of stocks out there that are trading at 17 to 25 times sales. This one's trading at 0.50. This is a microcap stock, but it plays along with the theme of, you know, you don't have to buy Go EV, which is Canoe, or Workhorse, or Fisker. or some of these, you know, pie-in-the-sky types of electric vehicle companies that hoping to make a splash, hoping to gain some market share in an industry that's getting much, much more competitive all the time, more entrants all the time coming along. And you're competing with the big folks, the big boys, GM, Ford, almost everybody, Mercedes, BMW, Chrysler, Tesla, etc. Almost everybody's in the space trying to break in. Not easy. So, you know, I kind of go with the companies that make different parts and components, and that's where Commercial Vehicle Group, real exciting name, CVGI is the symbol, headquartered in New Albany, Ohio. New Albany, Ohio. It's a microcap, $400 million in market capitalization. Forward P.E. ratio of 7. 7.03 is the forward P.E. ratio. The market's trading at about 23 times forward earnings. The estimated growth rate for Commercial Vehicle Group, CVGI, is about 18%. So the PEG ratio is also very low. When we divide the forward P.E. into the growth rate, we get a PEG ratio of about 0.40. Now, there's no guarantees. It meets the criteria that I have this year. You know, there's a real lack of momentum, too, in the market right now. I'm down to just 272 A-plus momentum stocks in the entire market. By contrast, listen, you go back to February of this year, A-plus momentum stocks, there was 1,100. Yeah, I would say this is a lot different year from last year. There were 1,100 A-plus or better momentum stocks several months ago, and now there's 272. And most of those are meme stocks or $2 biotechs or $3 biotechs. It's a very difficult market to navigate in right now. There's just very little direction. There's a real lack of momentum. Commercial Vehicles does have a momentum grade of 94 out of a 1 to 99 scale at the Investor's Business Daily. My grading system gives it not much. It gives it a D-plus momentum grade. I skew it a little bit more towards real recent momentum, but the Investor's Business Daily on a scale of 1 to 99 gives CVGI a 94. So we'll make that our featured stock of the day. It's a value stock that is in the auto space, that's a red-hot sector. It can be from time to time with the electrification of the automobile sector. Okay, well, if you'd like to take a look at the newsletter, you had Wells Fargo today out with their macro outlook for next year's market. I put my macro outlook and update it every week in the newsletter. And, of course, there is a scenario A with no tax hike, which I think is pretty unlikely. And then there's scenario B with a pretty healthy corporate tax hike, whether it's going to be that 15% minimum tax or taking the top tier from 21 to 28%, one of those is more than likely going to happen before 2022. That's just my guess. We shall see. Nothing's happened yet. So right now we just kind of got to go with the earnings estimates that are out there on the street for next year. Wells Fargo weighs in with $220 per share next year. I'm a little higher than that, actually. To get a two-week trial to my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with one of my advisors, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.